All lines are now bridged.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Happy early holidays to you. Thank you for joining our HITECH annual report work group. In fact, our last meeting of the year. We have our full team, Carolyn Peterson and Erin Meary, our two co-chairs, Christina Carlisle and Brett Oliver. We also have our ONC leads, Michelle Murray, myself, and Michael Berry, a new addition to the team. So with that, I will turn it over to Carolyn and Erin for a few remarks and to get us started.
Great. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for your wonderful dedication and persistence in coming to our meetings, particularly as we are in the middle of holidays. I know it's a really crazy, crazy time, not to mention all the pandemic-related things we're dealing with. So thank you so much. And I also wanted to commend Christina on her work and all her wonderful support and great ideas over these last 3 years. Today is Christina's last official meeting, and we wanted to give her a shout out for all her contributions. Thanks, Christina.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. You've been awesome.
Thank you, guys. It's bittersweet.
It's bittersweet for us, too. We wish we could keep you through the cycle.
I'm actually pretty sad, but this has been a really fun work group, so thank you. I'm glad I gave my little hug before we got on the call to everyone.
Well, you have left an absolute mark on our work, and it really would not be the same without your involvement. So thank you so much on behalf of the HITECH and all the stakeholders whose needs you are upholding through this work.
Thanks.
And a phenomenal progress.
And by the way, I'm always accessible, so feel free to reach out
anytime.
We'll
be calling you.
It's okay. You'll probably be like, why is Christina texting us? Tell her to go away.
That's right. We have your
anyway.
Email address. So, we should probably do some work before the meeting's over. With that, did you have any other thoughts, Erin, or considerations?
No, I just want to thank everybody and for the work that's happened this year. It has been crazy, but phenomenal. And again, I echo everything Carolyn just said. Christina, thank you. You've just been such a great colleague and partner on this committee and on the larger HITECH. And we will miss you formally, but you're there. You're always there. And now you'll be an alum. And alumnus are always welcome.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thanks. So turning to our agenda, today our one and only task is to discuss the draft of the annual report, such as it is so far. We have talked through the crosswalk for several meetings, and we're not going to look at that today. We will then have time for public comment, and we will adjourn a half an hour earlier than we expected at what I think would be 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Central. Hopefully that's okay with everyone. So with that, let's go to the next slide. This is our very familiar meeting schedule, and it's just a reminder that today is our last meeting before we work on the draft and bring it to HITECH. We have another meeting to work with their feedback on January 27, and then on February 18, we hope we can be doing the final work around the transmittal to the national coordinator on behalf of the full HITECH. Next slide, please. And then this is just our visual meeting schedule for the full committee, the HITECH on January 13, and then again on February 10, where we hope to get approval for our final version. Next slide, please. So today we're looking at revisions to the draft report, which we will present to HITECH on January 13. We hope we can get that vote on February 10, and then shortly thereafter, the report in its finalized form would go to the national coordinator. That means we will have discussion today, and we will probably need to review the written document individually and submit some changes to Erin and I and to Michelle over the next few weeks, so that we have something we can take back to the HITECH on the 13th of January something that we feel pretty good about. Next slide, please. So now we get into the discussion. I thought what I would do is, rather than try to create a lot of slides, which, you know, it's hard to know how far we would get, we thought we would just go through the draft that was sent out to you earlier this week, and thought I would see if there's any preference for discussing particular sections first, or areas where you have specific concerns or questions, or if you just want to start at the beginning and work through it as far as we can. I don't anticipate that we'll have another call before the January full HITACH meeting, and although there will be a written draft for you to review and in-track changes, if there are specific sections you want to talk about today as a group, we should hit those first. So just, I know some of you are not in front of a computer. So the table of contents starts with the executive summary. There's an overview, which touches on legislative requirements, the HITACH target areas, and the ONC objectives and benchmarks. There's a section on the HITACH progress in fiscal year 20. And then we go into our landscape analysis, the gap analysis, and the recommendations for addressing health IT infrastructure gaps. And then we have some suggestions for additional HITACH initiatives, a conclusion, and the appendices that have some of the other information that we've, through the year, thought would be helpful but doesn't fit somewhere else, like a glossary, abbreviations, a resource list, and some acknowledgments. So what are folks thinking in terms of where we start? My own bias would probably to be looking at the progress in fiscal year 20 section or the recommendations for addressing the infrastructure gaps and the suggestions for additional HITACH initiatives, because I think we've really talked a lot about the landscape analysis and the gap analysis in previous meetings, and the overview is usually the last thing that gets done after we've completed the rest of it, you know, so we know what goes in that.
I support that. That's fine with me.
Okay, let's turn to the progress section then. It looks like that's page 14 in the draft we have in our hands, or at least the page number is 14. I'll see if I can find the text page. So there's the forward. Ah, there you go. So that's, yeah, page 14 is 76. So this is sort of the summary of subcommittee meetings and recommendations. This starts with overall accomplishments. Focus of this year was on developing interoperability standards, priorities, recommendations, and evaluating the intersection of clinical and administrative data. That's the ICAD work. HITACH had 9 public meetings of the full committee, including the special meeting related to the COVID-19 pandemic response, and then 45 public meetings of task forces and work groups. And overall, HITACH delivered 52 recommendations to the national coordinator. And from there, it goes into a breakdown work group or task force by task force. The annual report, the interoperability standards priorities, the ICAD, and then the U.S. core data for interoperability, and that's what we've got in the progress report. So does anyone have any questions or concerns or other thoughts about this section?
No, it looks good. I like the way it's structured.
Just reading really quickly. I think it looks good.
I mean, certainly we will have some time to send our line edits over the next couple of weeks, but just in general, it's a a pretty tightly written, clear layout of what was done and the very high level achievements of each of the groups this year.
Yeah, I think this is good. And of course, I honed right in on US CDI task force just to give it a quick glance. And one thing that I can put a line, send in edits via line item, but I want to make sure that we capture that the task force really wanted a very transparent process that encouraged multiple stakeholders to submit data elements for consideration. I think that was a big piece of overarching recommendations.
That's good. That's good. And then let's see, does anyone have any thoughts about the section on the ICAD or the ISP?
I looked it over earlier. I thought it was fine.
Did you have any thoughts, Brett?
I'll be honest. I have not looked at it, but no, not right off the bat.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I know it's quite a long report. It's a lot to take in one sitting. From my perspective, it looks like the high-level kind of summary points are well captured for each of the reviews of what the task forces did. And I think it's pretty clearly laid out. Should be of value to Congress just in getting a broad understanding of what we do, what we've done this year. Do you have any other thoughts, Christina?
No, I was just giving it a quick review. I think it captures the high-level areas. And I had a quick thought that it on the overarching accomplishments, I think some of the task force were looking at just how they work in synergy, but I don't know that it's really necessary. I could probably start drilling in and get away from quick summary. So I think it looks good.
Okay. Why don't we move to the recommendations section then? I think we've talked a lot about that's at the very end of the report. We'll pull up a page number here and give you what that is. I want to say page 47. I know we've talked a lot about recommendations, particularly as we fit them into the crosswalk. And I think this is the other section where we really might need to do any kind of significant changes. I think we've got the landscape and the gap analysis pretty tightly finalized at this point. So these recommendations, as we've seen in the crosswalk, they're broken down by the target area, and we start with our new target area, the use of technologies that support public health. This is the work that came out of our COVID review and hearing. We've got some placeholder text in there for sort of the story about what the problems are and the challenges are that health IT needs to address, kind of what gaps we see in the infrastructure. And then getting under the immediate opportunities, the first thing we see is exchange of bidirectional clinical and administrative data for public health. And the opportunity there would be to improve bidirectional interoperability between public health reporting systems and EHRs. And there are three recommended high-tech activities under there. I won't read those to you because we've read those out loud a number of times when we worked through the crosswalk. But I think this, in this instance, we've incorporated the feedback we got from HITAC last month in that they want to emphasize this bidirectional interoperability. That was something that was echoed by several members. And so we've reworked this section to be sure that that's emphasized. Another opportunity in this area was to accelerate the use of data standards to improve situational awareness for federal, state, and local government emergency response. I know we've certainly talked about how the lack of standards impairs and hampers our ability to do a lot of the data exchange that would really support pandemic response and other kinds of public health activities. And then the third opportunity would be to explore an expanded role for HIEs to support public health. I think we've talked about that also. Do we have any general thoughts about these opportunities and kind of what how we've structured this section?
It may be too late. I don't want to throw another sort of topic in there, but if we could scroll back up to that previous page where we're talking about sort of standards and data sets, one of the things that has come up in the last 6 weeks or so for us is not necessarily the standard data sets, but the minimum necessary infrastructure required. The specific example is that with electronic case reporting, you know, we got a lot of push from the CDC to provide that, and it also takes a lot of work off of our teams. So we put a tremendous amount of work into that, only to find out that our state health department doesn't have the technical infrastructure to accept said data sets. Now they're working on it, but as I was reading through this, I thought perhaps if there was a way to add something, we're talking about the data sets, a minimum necessary to exchange, but we really don't talk, at least I didn't see anything that we talk about the hardware or the technical requirements to accept or exchange said data sets. I mean, I guess you assume that, but it didn't work out that way for us, at least to now.
I think that's a really good point, and it strikes me that perhaps there's a similar situation in other states. So I would support looking for a way to work that in.
Did that make sense, Michelle?
It does. I just want to clarify, it's on page 47, the second opportunity that you're talking about. Is that where it would go? Or is it somewhere else?
Yeah, no, I was just reading through those recommended activities. I suppose it could be that one or the one above it where we talk about minimum necessary data sets for exchange.
Oh, okay, I see it. The first recommendation in the first opportunity.
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure I knew where you were.
Thanks. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail it. I know we've been through this ton. It's a new sort of new topic.
Brett, I think that it's important to bring up, and this might be an area that you pause in January and even see, like, we're kind of going through the process now and see if other HITAC members would have any lessons learned or things that they're uncovering in real time where this needs to be readdressed. I think it's the one that's, like, almost changing as we speak.
No, I think it's great to add it in, Brett. I wouldn't apologize at all. I mean, it's on your mind. It's probably going to be on the mind of other people. And the sooner we can get it in now, then the less we have to worry about later at the January review. I think we also have to bear in mind that at that point, for the January meeting, we'll have had about 3 weeks of vaccine distribution, administration, and registering. And it may be that at the HITAC meeting we hear more that addresses some of that aspect as well. So I don't see this as set in stone. I think it's just in a really good place to be tweaked.
Really good point.
So I have a question about if we want to add something, would it be another recommendation? Would it be adjusting an existing one? And if so, like, who would be the actor? And what would be the activity?
does HHS have the ability to provide get the same guidance that they would on the data sets, I mean, for the infrastructure as they would the data sets? I'll defer to our governmental experts there. I mean, I don't know that it has to be a separate activity or even actor. If it could just be expanded to say, it's one thing to say, here's what's required, here's the data set, but if you can't exchange it technically, and I just, we just haven't talked about that. If that's a separate activity, I'm totally fine with that, but I thought maybe we could just incorporate it into that first recommended activity.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I don't know for sure what part of HHS would do that for us, but saying generally that HHS guidance, probably okay. We'll check into that for you.
Okay, thanks.
Any other thoughts about opportunities and recommended activities in this area? We are looking at the exchange of bidirectional clinical and administrative data for public health purposes. Okay. Let's move on to privacy and security for public health purposes. That's page 48. Two opportunities here. Discuss the trade-offs between increasing interoperability, protecting privacy and security, and ensuring public safety during pandemics, and also increase clarity on the privacy and security concerns associated with biosurveillance activities. And here we have two recommendations for each of those opportunities. I'll give you a chance to look at those. Is there anything we'd like to add here or adjust?
I think they look okay.
I think they look good too. I like the layout of the report too.
Yeah, it's very readable and it's easy to see what the recommendations are and the opportunities, and the rest of the text is not getting in the way of that. Any changes you have in mind, Aaron, or any other thoughts around those?
No, I like this layout. It makes sense. And when I looked at it earlier, I think we have a pretty comprehensive view, as we also said, need to check with the HITECH in general.
Okay. Let's move on to the next subsection. This would be vaccine tracking. And here the opportunity is investigate whether predictive analytics can be used to aggregate and analyze data to anticipate needs for vaccines among vulnerable and or high-risk populations, including for flu and COVID-19 prevention, and B, better target outreach, education, and response efforts and strategies. And we've got just one recommended activity here, looking for barriers and opportunities and highlighting successful vaccine program interventions with the use of AI. This seems maybe a bit broader, less specific than some of the other recommendations, but at the same time, given that we're just at the start of vaccine distribution and administration, it seems like it's probably in a good place, pointing to the general area without getting too prescriptive.
I think we're going to learn a lot. We're already learning a lot just a couple of days of vaccine distribution. And so I feel even better about this statement now that we've actually begun vaccine protocol. And I'm curious what Brett's thinking, because there's a lot here we're going to learn. And I think listening to that and learning from that before we develop firm recommendations is worth it.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Aaron. Just in its infancy, trying to sort through all this, and we only have one vaccine actually released yet.
Yeah, we've got a long ways to go. Do you have any other thoughts, Christina?
Nope, I agree with everyone else.
Okay. Let's move to the, looks like the last subsection under the immediate opportunities. This would be patient matching for public health purposes. Two opportunities. First, to improve patient matching through expanded use of AI while considering privacy and security concerns about AI algorithms in order to accurately identify patients and locate at-risk individuals. And second, to increase alignment across federal, state, and local public health reporting requirements and guidance to support improved collection and consistency of demographic data. And we know we have a little bit of updating to do here with the correct citation of the patient matching report, if that is published. And I know that Michelle's team is keeping an eye on that. And then we do have one recommended activity, which relates to tactical recommendations based on the report.
The only other thing I would say, and this is new since our last high tech, is the proposed, now I think there's a Senate bill proposed, and I've seen a lot of activity around this being talked about using the United States Postal Service address field as a standardization mechanism as part of patient matching. It may be too much granular, and it may be too in the weeds, still too much of a proposed, but I have seen a lot of traffic about that in the past couple of weeks, which has been interesting. But we could also table that for next year as well, and I think we'd be just fine. But it is something that's relevantly new.
Yeah, the recommended high-tech activity is fairly broad, developing tactical recommendations based on the report. So I think we're probably sound in including it, even if we don't go deeper than that. You know, and as a way of giving space to whatever we see as the lived experience for the next few months. And then we've got one longer-term opportunity that would be to share and apply lessons learned across countries about the use of health IT to support public health, such as for electronic case monitoring. And I think, again, this is kind of relates to the notion that people do travel internationally, and at some point there may be some need for data exchange and management so that people can do that, at least as we work through the COVID situation. Any other thoughts about this one?
No, I know we got a lot of kudos for having it on there, though. International was important.
Yeah, months ago it was hard to imagine travel, and now with the vaccines on the horizon, people are almost ready to start booking flights, so we have to think about it.
They are, and more prevalent of rapid testing. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Okay, so we're finished with that target area. We will now move to the interoperability target area. This is at the bottom of page 49. And there's a space there for the scenario that Michelle had sent out for us to review and suggest changes or edits to. So we've just got some boring placeholder text here that we can ignore. Coming into the immediate opportunities for interoperability, exchange of health data more broadly across the care continuum, exchange of social determinants health data, coordination of health IT standards to support interoperability for priority uses, and coordination of standards to support interoperability with regard to the U.S. CDI. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, looks like about a half a dozen recommendations in those immediate opportunities. Any thoughts about those I can certainly read any part of it that you'd like out loud, but I know we've talked a lot about this over some years, so I don't want to grind your head into the sand again if we don't need to.
I think this area reads fine for me. I mean, I don't see any other addition to this, but that's just me.
I'm good with it as well, Carolyn.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it looks good. It's just finishing reading.
Does anything jump out at you in terms of the social determinants section? I know you had made a number of good, important points through all our other discussions.
Nothing jumps out. I can definitely take a closer read, but I think this looks good. And this is all stuff that we've kind of gone through with the crosswalk, too. I think it's
yes.
Reflected well, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this is certainly stuff that we're more familiar with and that we've addressed in previous years as well. So it's good to take a look, but maybe it's really a case of us just doing some redlining if we have any other thoughts. And then coming to the longer-term opportunities and interoperability, here we have the sections on association between EHRs and patient safety, increased health equity across populations, locations, and situations, and sharing data with the research community. And again, these are our recurring themes in our work this year and in previous years. If anything else comes to mind, we can certainly get it in.
I like the way this reads. I've always liked that section, though. It's important.
I think this looks good, too.
Sorry, I was on mute. No issues for me, Carol.
Okay, no worries. I wanted to give everybody a chance to skim through it. So that brings us to the target area, privacy and security. And this is about the middle of the page on page 52. And then again, we have a placeholder here for a little vignette about what the recommended high-tech activities will be addressing or would enable. So here we've got some immediate opportunities in the area of rules for sharing and patient consent beyond HIPAA. And then we also have some longer opportunities in those areas, as well as in the beyond HIPAA Internet of Things area, and the general topic of synthetic data, which is something that we had kind of envisioned would be a concern going forward, but isn't something that we really saw a lot happening in this year. So that's perhaps a bit further out on the horizon. I don't think there's any surprises in this section. It looks like a lot of stuff we've talked about in previous years, but I'll give you a chance to skim through in case anything jumps out.
This one looks good too.
Yeah, no, she's from me.
The only thought that occurs to me is whether we should mention research in the synthetic data area, in the sense of whether synthetic data will, the use of synthetic data would result in additional needs or not standards, I guess, but data elements or something related to the way it's handled and therefore used in exchange or perhaps moved around. I think I'm not articulating that very well. But it seems like there's more than just privacy and security, but also what people want to do with it and how that, if there's any differences there between that and EHR data. Or other kinds of data.
And Kelly, as a reminder, there's options to put text, more descriptive text, in the landscape and gap analyses too. If we don't have specific actions here, but we want to give more context, you could put them in other spots as well.
Yeah, I'll think about this and see if I can frame that in a way that, you know, aligns with what we have already and the format and see what others think about it. I know that was a topic you had talked a lot about, Aaron. If you have any other thoughts.
I need to look at it. I really do, and I don't have it in front of me. I want to take a look at it and just think about it, and I'll email it.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair. And did you have anything related to this section, Brett?
I did not, Carolyn. I'm okay with it.
Okay. So we will start on the final target area. That's patient access to information, and we're here on the middle of page 54. So we have our vignette at the top, and then the immediate opportunities would be safety and impact of mobile health applications, correction of incorrect clinical data, and the ramifications of exchange of this data. And I don't see that we had any longer-term concerns there. We just had those two immediate opportunities. We have covered some of these issues about patient data exchange and access in other sections, so I don't know that we need to repeat ourselves, but if anything else has come to mind, this is our time to bring it up.
The only thing I could think of would be what CMS released last week related to prior authorization. Applying that for purposes of alleviating burden. But I mean, that's still part of the right access to data at the right time. So I don't think we need to go into that nuance, but that's really the only thing I can think of that's new since we last talked about it. It's not even new, it's just a proposed rule. I mean, that's the only thing that's new.
Yeah, well, certainly there has the question of how as a patient you can get incorrect data addressed, recognized, acknowledged, and fixed, you know, is that concern's been around for a long, long time. And I think as we get more exchange and we get more interoperability, that issue will rise again because it will actually be technically feasible. Assuming we can work out the other issues around it, thinking legal liability and such. But I'm not sure what else I would add to this section either. Something to think about when we do the redlining.
Yeah, I would agree. I suspect this section will change by this time next year, perhaps, but for now, I think that's the best activity.
I agree with everyone.
Oh. Okay. And then if we advance to page 56, the suggestions for additional high-tech initiatives is short and sweet. I'll read it. The high-tech did not identify additional target areas or related high-tech initiatives as defined in the Cures Act in fiscal year 20. The high-tech will revisit this opportunity in the fiscal year 21 annual report.
I'll remind everyone this is sort of legalese to cover a request from the Cures Act for us to look at additional target areas. It's above and beyond adding public health, because that was a pre-identified area by Congress. It'd be more if it was outside the list in the Cures Act. Did we want to submit anything, we being high tech, submit anything beyond that list? And the list would include the priority target areas, public health, and then just a few other things that could be considered that we haven't yet.
Okay. And then the conclusion is, you know, is pretty straightforward, a paragraph noting that we've made significant progress in these target areas, but we still have quite a lot we would like to accomplish, and are looking forward to doing more of that in 21.
That works.
Yeah. So I would say first...
Perfect.
Does anyone have any other thoughts or areas in this report they want to go back to while we're all together before we take a look at the draft that we can redline?
I do not.
You can't think of any, no?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay. Do you have additional questions for us, Michelle, or is there anything else that you need from us beyond our timely read-through and comments in a draft that you'll send out?
I think you've already summarized the next few steps. I will turn around. I think the only thing I heard that was concrete update immediately was Brett's suggestion for that one recommendation. And there's a separate document floating around that right now is with the co-chairs to look at four story ideas or vignettes. And they're all a paragraph long to try to integrate some of these ideas in the recommendations in a future-looking story so you can sort of help people imagine what the future might be if these recommendations were implemented. So that's a, right now in a separate document, we partly so we could be creative with it and take a look at it more in a focused way. But then we need to insert each of those in for the January 6th version. And I say January 6th because that's the date we need to finalize something as a draft to get to the high-tech members for their review. So they have it ahead of the meeting on the 13th. So that will be coming your way fairly shortly.
Okay.
Review over the holiday break.
Do you have a date that you would like us to send in our redline comments or any other feedback we have? In the sense of needing to get that in before the January 6th distribution day?
Yeah, I think January 4th would be the cutoff. I think that's a Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have anything before then, even better. Ms. Pileto and CU are on leave that week before, but we might still be checking email and able to look at something and get back to you.
Okay. And when do you anticipate sending out the draft for us to redline? Approximately?
Probably tomorrow.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good 2 weeks. And certainly we can work on it and aim to get that back earlier. I don't think we have anything else. Lauren, did you have anything else, Aaron, or anyone else?
No, ma'am. No, nothing. I think we're good. I feel good about this.
Looking great.
Great. Then we will see if we have any public comments. We'll ask the operator to open the line.
If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for comments. There are no comments at this time.
All righty. So I think that will conclude our meeting for today. 9 minutes early here. Carolyn and Erin, anything else before we wrap up?
I just want to thank everyone for all your great participation through the year and wish you relaxing and enjoyable holidays. Really looking forward to wrapping this up and bringing our work to fruition.
Agreed. Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you. And then one more time, Christina, thank you. Round of applause for you. Really appreciate you.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, back at you all.
Don't be a stranger.
Happy holidays.
Oh, happy holidays.
See you now.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Michelle. Bye,
thank
Laura.
You all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.